Hello and welcome to this episode of the Venus and Vesta Evolutionary Astrology Podcast. This episode is a continuation of the previous one where I speak about the North Node moving into Aries, which is quite dynamic. I felt like there was so much more to say, and I'm going to pick on a couple of subjects that will really get a huge boost as soon as Aries moves into, as soon as the North Node moves into Aries. I mean, really, this is the divine masculine, and it is also about our incarnation. And I didn't speak about these in the previous episode, which has got so much in it anyway. So you can listen to both, and both these subjects don't cross over. There's so much to say about this and what is going to be happening. But this one is kind of slightly more esoteric and mythical, I would say. Anyway, the Aries, of course, with the North Node moving into Aries on the 17th of July. Aries is, of course, the Lamb of God. And Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. And if you go through the zodiac, you take... It takes you through the life of a man so that you even come, so that the Pisces is the death and Aries is the birth, you know. So really this incarnation, this is the incarnation spot, not just for us as individuals, but also for mankind. Aries is a representative of that Lamb of God, of that naive opening up and that real starter energy as we become incarnated. See, Aries is, as I say, the baby of the zodiac. And sometimes, you know, it's like you'll see an Aries native and they want their needs met and they know how to get their needs met really quite dynamically. And sometimes you could consider them being quite selfish, but really it's a selfishness like I need my needs met and then I can help you all totally and I can lead you all and then I can get things done. So it is initially quite selfish, but it's not for a selfish end, as it were. So when someone does incarnate, the baby comes in and the soul is just attached to the head and not necessarily in the body. The body is completely sort of helpless. There's no real ability to do things with the body in a conscious way when a baby is born. So the soul is attached to just to the head. And of course, Aries rules the head. And so you can see why this is where the soul is incarnating, just at the head point. And over the next 7 years, and this is Steiner-based theory, over the next 7 years, the soul is slowly incarnating through the body and comes deeper and deeper into the body. And, you know, just like in the idea of the conception, the Immaculate Conception, that when the angel whispered in Mary's ear, that vibration in her ear down her Eustachian tube, which then mimics the fallopian tube, an immaculate birth will happen through sound vibration. But here, the soul is attached almost to the ears. And so that's why you often have babies. They come in and they have ear problems, middle ear problems. And, you know, they're often given grommets and things. But really, this is the heat coming in. The soul needs heat to come and descend into the body. And that's why children have lots of fevers and sickness, because it's the sickness that they are bringing in the heat in their body to really, one, it brings their soul into the body, not just the head. So if you block a fever completely with pharmaceuticals, you're stopping that incarnation. So someone becomes only, if they have too many drugs, just partly incarnated. The idea is that you really allow the fever to, or you soften it in a natural way before it actually becomes really bad, obviously, so that the soul can come in. It needs some of that heat. But what also that heat is doing is also burning off the ancestral codes, because a baby comes in with its whole ancestral line supporting in it. It's just full of the ancestral ideas, its parents, its grandparents, the whole lineage before it. And this heat is, on one level, it's it's one, it's allowing the soul to slowly come in, to draw in the heat and the ego forces. And also it's shedding off all the ancestral codes around it so that the baby becomes individualized rather than just another part of the family. It allows that heat to be, so it's not dealing with other people's or its family's karma. It's actually going to just deal with its own individualized pathway. And that's what the heat allows that to come in. And that's what the 7 years is happening. So you want the heat to be dispersed is what, rather than suppressed totally. And the heat also represents ego forces. The ego forces that said, this is me. This is who I am as an individual. So it's quite a powerful idea. This hot, and these are all Aries themes, the hot-headedness, the ego forces that comes in and the self-actualization. These are all Aries themes. So when the North Node comes in, I think we'll see that idea that on an individual level, perhaps we will be dealing with our birth issues and how birth is processed within the medical system or with, you know, with women. And then also as mankind level, how we incarnate here and what are we here for, but also on our own individual level. Now, also that heat, you know, if we bring it in, it's like the heat as our ego forces is also activated by Mars, and Mars rules Aries. And of course, you know, that idea of who we are and what we're into really is activated when a baby is 2 years old and it has its Mars return. The Mars return, when Mars comes round to meet where Mars was on when it was born, suddenly that ego comes forward, that grasping energy. It's just such a fire, extra energy. And you see these mad two-year-olds, first of all, they're into everything. They want to pick everything up and put it in their mouth and discover what things are. And, you know, you can't get things off them. And then they're gripping onto things like, give me back my pen, you're going to break it. And they're like, no. Or they get quite angry and they have quite a temper because, of course, they can't express totally. But you know, that's the terrible twos and threes when toddlers get their Mars return and whoa, that Mars force is activated. And of course, I think we're going to feel this temper, this anger, this real thrusting force when the North Node moves into Aries, let alone the fact that it's moving into Aries at 29 degrees and squaring Pluto at 29 degrees Capricorn, let alone that it is going to be a powerful force for us all individually. And we must use that energy. We've got to use that energy. We don't want it to use us. So I think being that this heat coming in for the soul to descend through the first 7 years, the idea that also that, you know, with many pharmaceuticals, we block that process, that I think there may be an idea, that a growing idea, that the natural way of helping a fever be processed or dispersed might come to the fore much more, so that we see that the baby needs these kind of illnesses. We can't just block every illness. And the same goes throughout life. The more times you take, every time you take a chemical tablet that blocks your symptoms and stops you having symptoms, it's blocking your body having a natural response to heal itself, or a natural opportunity to go, oh, I can deal with this, I can heal it. And that is the whole point of natural remedies, to allow the body to do it for themselves. So then you activate a proper cure rather than a blocking of the process. So when you block any process like that, from headache tablets to anything, you just cut that idea for the soul off. It doesn't go away. It's actually stored in the body still. The body still wants to be able to heal itself of that. And so it'll want to come out in different ways. So I think there, as I've said before in the previous, there is a huge swathe of ideas about natural medicine to allow the incarnation to really happen in a more a smoother way without blocking it with ideas like Cowpol, with antibiotics, with vaccines, all those ideas that we have to become aware of what's happening with the soul so that we are going to use those, which have their uses, obviously. If we are going to use chemicals to help this, it's got to be used with a bit more intelligence than it currently is. And it has to be used with the idea that it's up to the individual, because obviously Aries will want the individual to have their say in what they do with their body. And so I say, as a homeopath, you know, when you've got a fever, your body is trying to burn something off, even if you're a kid or you are an adult. And I love, in homeopathic terms, we always give homeopathic belladonna for hot-headedness. Any fevers that are centered around the head, you'd give belladonna so it can disperse before you go on to other methods. Or I love the idea that I've never actually tried this, but the idea that if you have someone with a fever that you put ice blocks around their feet and it draws the heat from the head or from the upper body down to the feet to keep the feet warm so that you disperse the heat through the body. I really like that idea. But as I say, I've never tried it. I have tried the belladonna multiple times and it really is a powerful remedy for fevers. But anyway, we do need this heat, and Aries is about that incarnating heat of the thrust of the soul coming in. That thrust, it starts, so the soul is attached to the head and the ears, like I say, where the eustachian tubes are. And you can block that when babies get those ear grommets or antibiotics to stop the infections they get with this. But then it goes to the tonsils, because then you get later on, you get the sore throat brigade. I had many friends always off school with tonsillitis, but that's the blocking here where the soul comes into the tonsillitis, because the soul then needs to grip onto the kidneys and then onto the gonads, the ovaries. And if it's still blocked there with contraceptive pills and other ideas, that then it goes to the knees. And you see a lot of people in old age get really bad knees because they're suffering from all that blocking. But obviously other problems arise before it actually gets to that point. But that's the descent of the soul through the body, through from the pairs, really. The pairs, the ears, the tonsils, the kidneys, the gonads and ovaries. That is how it works. And then also, if you look at the zodiac, so the head for Aries, Taurus for the throat and the tonsils, and then we go to Gemini. The Gemini is actually when we move to the hands, and sometimes they say the breasts as well, but the hands, because you're individualized, you've got one hand, two hands, it's the ability to be dexterous. And then to Cancer, it's Cancer, the breasts. Then, you know, you go down to Leo, and then you go down to Virgo and Libra, and Libra with the ovaries. And of course, Scorpio onto the genitalia. But anyway, that's the descent of the soul as it goes down the body, and the zodiac as it goes down the body in order of each sun sign. So I really feel like that with the North Node moving into Aries, there's a real opportunity to re-grip our incarnation into this world, into our bodies, to really understand why we are here as souls. And what does our ego need to express? What does our ego need to do? And potentially then we might feel that fire, that heat that comes within, and maybe there will be more fevers to deal with. But and so I say, take some of those, take belladonna, have some belladonna ready, have something ready to help you if you do go into fevers, because as an initial response, that's going to be, or any response, that's going to be a really good idea to do. Because on one level, the soul here in our current era of this current planet humanity, we have come in through various, the soul has come in into further and further into density, so that the soul comes in through the Indian, then the Persian, Egyptian and the Greco-Roman eras on this soul or this earth's current incarnation. And when it gets to the Greco-Roman, that's when we have the densest point, that the soul is completely bound in at this densest point. And that was at Golgotha, when Jesus Christ was on the cross and he bled the Christ energy into the earth. And that's when we could, so from that moment on, we are now loosening our incarnation and going back to spirit. And that's why it's really good to use the Christ codes to bring yourself back to spirit. But that idea that we're actually moving back towards spirit. So we've gone from the Greco-Roman. We are now level with the Egyptian period. So the Egyptian period of the soul incarnate, or mankind incarnating, is going through to the Egyptians and down to the Greco-Roman and then coming back up. So we now level with the Egyptian era on the way back out. And in that Egyptian era, as you may know, they were mummifying all the bodies. And so many of us in this incarnation have had mummification processes. And what they were doing was really drawing the soul and keeping it tethered to earth, so that the soul felt, you know, it had its things around us, it felt its body, it felt earthly ideas, earthly themes that would keep it interested in earth, because the soul wants to lift up, the soul wants to go high. And this, the Egyptians were mummifying the bodies in order to keep us tethered to this soul and to earth, so that human incarnation would be tethered to earth. And now we're on the way back out and we're level with them. We are undoing that tethering. We are really loosening our grip as souls, as spirit, to earth, so that our etheric body, our mental body and our astral bodies are all kind of slightly moving apart, and we're opening up dramatically. And this soul incoming of mankind, this process, which is the grand process of this current earth era, is also the process, obviously, with our, in our own personal incarnation. So you come in and then you slowly move out. But, you know, and this has happened repeated times across many earth eras, you know, from Atlantis before that, Lemuria before that. So we pass the densest point. But really, this is like an in-breath and an out-breath. It's the inhalation and the exhalation of the soul. And again, our breathing is a mini mimic of that incarnation of the soul. And, you know, that's the idea that we're the current breathing, where every out-breath is like a mini death. We are incarnating, and we have incarnated via the breath. So it wasn't just the Egyptians that were mummifying the body so that we would stay connected to earth. It was also in the Greco-Roman period that they were idealizing the body. It was the Greeks and the Romans that really idealized what the body should look like. And that's, you know, shown in the statues and the art of that time, where they had the statue of David as like the perfect man. That's what he represents. And that the idea that this was the actual blueprint that we were all supposed to look at. It's before that, we were not so aware of being in our bodies. We were far more connected to spirit and far more less interested in the actual body. Whereas we've really gone far into that now in this era. So we've been given that as a really lovely blueprint for this physical incarnation. And this is where the etheric can really grip the body, our physical body. Now, the etheric is like the energy body. So that if you see a ghost, you often see it's because it's the etheric imprint that's left behind, because it looks exactly the same as the body, but it's much more, it's flatter. You see the etheric exists on a flat plane. So the etheric is your energy body. It doesn't have a 3D form, but it is the stuff, the same, the body, your body exactly, but how it gets its energy. And it is just energy. And you need the astral body then to actually give it form and shape it in the right way. And as we are loosening our effect with the etheric, there is less energy, of course. We're going to have less energy, but we're going to come much more sensitive to spirit, to energy. And we are all coming towards that Nikola Tesla, I mean, he's so way ahead of his time, saying that to think about energy in terms of and the world and around us to think in terms of frequency, vibration, and resonance. So now we can become much more sensitive to those ideas as we are loosened that up. We're in not so dense ourselves. But of course, as we loosen that, we're becoming far more open, and we're open to much more ideas like the vibrational medicine, and understanding our incarnation, which again is going to have such a huge effect on that idea and our spiritual essence, the spiritual essence of mankind. And to keep us in without the invasion, you know, as we come open, we're really open to other effects of other people. You know, we're going to blend a little bit more easily. So it's really important for each of us as individuals to protect our space, to protect our energy. And I think that is going to be a huge idea that people will really, I mean, when you hear about someone protecting their energy, a lot of people will be dismissive of that currently. But I think through the next 18 months, I think that's just going to be a matter of course, you know, that you're going to be saging yourself down, imagining yourself in a golden egg, or having an Epsom soap bath to clear the energy of when you've been amongst lots of people, because we will need to protect ourselves as we open up. And I don't want to say, you know, how entities get in. That's how we can be disrupted and, you know, taken off our path. So a spiritual life or a dedication to something beyond ourselves, and that kind of filling that gap with our own real truth, our honesty, our heart, is a really beautiful thing and an essential thing as we move forward. Because remember, when the Egyptians were mummifying the body, they weren't just wrapping the body up in bandages. They were actually doing spiritual rites and sacred rites over each of the mummification processes. And obviously, the higher up you were within the social strata, the better kind of social or the better kind of sacred rites you were given over your mummification. So if you were a princess or a priest or someone, you would get really good support to have you would have prayers, incantations, art, and you were given a really sacred space to be mummified. And the weaving that would happen to it would be done by really experienced people who knew what they were doing. They were really weaving beautiful patterns. And if you go to any of those, you know, the British Museum or any of those museums, there's a great one in New York as well that you know, have examples of mummies, you will see how beautifully the weaving is to around these mummies, because it wasn't just a woven pattern. It was art, it was sound vibration, mantras, prayers, and spells that were done over the bodies to keep this mummification process beautifully done and completely protected. So now that we loosen that up, I still feel that there is a real need to actually have sacred rites spoken as we open up as well. Spells, sacred rites, mantras, sound vibrations, really to put in and allow us to open up in a beautiful way where we're still protected. And also that we can go straight to spirit without the attachments of other ideas, other people, and we keep to the blueprint of the humans' descent into spirit and ascent back to spirit. So whatever you get up to on that way, I'm sure make it your own. And I think there'll be a lot more of those sort of group essences where we get together and bring in really beautiful energy, such as like with sound baths too, so that we are opening up in the best way possible with the highest codes and the highest intention and the most protection. And I was also feeling like that to understand this process, and you could go back to this Earth's current era and then to Atlantis before it and Lemuria before that, Hyperborean before that, and initially the Polarian period. But when we got to the Lemurian period, that's when the fall happened. And that's also when we were divided into male and female. And I feel that that south node in Libra may activate some of that separation into male and female, the idea that there was a balance between the two and the equality between the two. And I think there'll be a real activation of Libra going back to when we, because if you say someone has Lemurian karma, it often means that they've been quite sexually active in the past, because when it got to being separated to male and female in that period, people did go a little bit crazy and understand what their bodies could do. So that's the Lemurian karma. And because Libra is about the balance here, I feel that some of that will be also activated. So there's an activation on the Aries incarnation front for mankind and the whole process, but also the male and female balance as well that comes with the South Node being in Libra. So as you can see, Aries is going to initiate the incarnation process, or the North Node in Aries is going to initiate the incarnation process of mankind. And as you can see, this pertains to a much wider process of the whole Earth and humanity's attachment to this current Earth plane and current Earth era as we move away from density, and where our bodies are not going to be as fixed and they are going to be changeable. And of course, now there are so many possibilities to have your body changed. And some of these are quite unnatural. And of course, you want to be able to do this in the most natural and in the highest way possible. So I would say beware of ideas where you've got Botox, you've got fat freezing, you've got facelifts and other much more extreme changes to the genitalia that are going to be done by surgeons. I think hold on, because our actual idea about our bodies will be changing, and you want to be doing that in the most natural and spiritual way possible, rather than something that's very forced by current ideology, which is bound to change. It will change through this next 18 months. Because again, we're looking at the South Node in Libra about the balance and the balance between the sexes and where that's been and where it's heading for, especially with the Aries as the divine masculine. So going back to this idea about the incarnation, Aries is our incarnating point with the North Node. Because I feel this is very relevant to astrology, that we, as an astrologer, as astrologers, we use the birth time to really as a significant point to see where your rising sign and where all your houses are. And this isn't just some, you know, when I sometimes do readings, people, I say, can I have your birth details? And they go, I was a cesarean or whatever the birth detail was. Really, we're asking because we want to know when your first breath was, when you first took oxygen through your own lungs rather than through the placenta. And that's you oxygenated your blood at the first breath. And that oxygen going through in a significant and dynamic way is a profound mixing of the blood. So you then get the imprint of the planet or the universe as it was at that moment at your first breath. It imprints on your blood. And then it profoundly mixes with the blood, and the most abundant metal in the blood is iron. And the iron in the blood, you know, you heard about the will forces. The will forces are in the blood as iron. And this is how the baby is activated. It goes, wah, and it starts to cry immediately on that first breath, or usually does. And that is the incarnation point that astrologers need for your first breath. It's a very important point, because you're oxygenated, you have the blueprint, and that is the blueprint that you carry with you for the rest of your life. And of course, if it's iron is ruled by Mars, and it's the metal of Aries, and Mars rules Aries. So this is also another reason why we have Aries as the incarnating point of humanity. And of course, it's this imprint of the planets at that time is actually going to give us our individual life paths, life path, should I say. So Aries and Mars and Iron are key cofactors with the blood for this whole process to pan out over the next 18 months. And we will see much more information about what's going on in the blood, the metals in the blood, all those kind of more medical ideas around that, as well as the spiritual ideas around this for the Aries North Node. So as humanity does move upwards in the ascent to spirit, you know, we are becoming less individualized. We're understanding our community, or how we are socially all connected, how that we are all one. And obviously we hear that said, but actually right in the next 18 months, we're going to really feel that in a much more profound way. We're going to understand why, or feel how we are all one. And this is the rising as well of us as incarnated beings, mankind incarnated, in the stage that we are at, we are blending. So we do want to make sure that it's happening in the beautiful way, and it's not a distorted, it's not distorted by issues around us, and that we can blend in beautifully. Because and I really feel like the Venus retrograde happening at the same time, where we're going to look at our heart centers, because it's Leo and Leo rules the heart. So 2 days after the North Node goes into Aries, we have Venus going retrograde, and that's the perfect point to go, right, this is what's in my heart, that I can feel my connection, my heart connection with the rest of humanity, if not my brothers and sisters, my neighbours and my friends and my tribe. And I want us to really feel into this Venus retrograde and understand that we're doing this, we're being flexible here, and we're doing it in the beauty way. We're doing it in the most gracious and sacred way possible. And so I think this is like a definitely, it's appealing with the Venus retrograde and the Aries North Node, is a definitely appealing away of the ideas around our personal sovereignty and what that means for us. And of course, because Chiron is in Aries too, I feel that that's a real powerful way that we can heal that aspect. And it is done in a healing way, that as we move on, we're not going forward as humanity without actually healing parts of ourselves at the same time. So I'm quite looking forward to that. And they get together January, February 2024. And of course, we've got Saturn and Neptune are both in Pisces right now, and you think, well, they're going to join up in Pisces, but they don't. As they leave Pisces, one leaves after the other, and they meet at 0 and 1 degree Aries. So the meeting of those planets is going to happen in Aries too. So this isn't just with Chiron, just with the North Node. We're going to have Saturn and Neptune together, conjunct in the beginning of Aries a couple of times actually. So that's an amazing kind of conjunction that's going to happen in Aries that possibly we weren't expecting. But that's not for a year and a half. Itself anyway. And then to continue, and also express the other idea of Aries as the divine masculine. Aries and Mars do represent the divine masculine. And so there is going to be an upgrade and a redefinition and a re-gripping of that masculinity that's going to happen in the next 18 months. Because so far, you know, we've had in the very lately, we've had this idea of non-binary and gender fluidity. But it's women who have given up their safe spaces. It's women who have given up their places on the podium in sport. And it's women, you know, that have had the terminology and the terminology of who they are and the idea of who they are dissolved into accommodate other people. It's women that, you know, not that, you know, the leader of the opposition in the UK, you know, we can't say that women have a cervix. Of course, women have a cervix, unless you've had it removed, or that you've had something happen to you, or you are, of course, a trans, then you don't have one. But women have, the ideal woman initially has a cervix. It's and so it's so women are, their archetype is kind of been sort of slowly battered away at and sort of slowly reduced, as it were. And we've just seen this piece in the Daily Mail where somebody was requesting or suggesting that the medics should call, so as not to offend trans or non-binary, that they should call the vagina, they should call it a bonus hole. Has anyone ever heard something so ludicrous as to call a vagina a bonus hole? It's absolutely laughable. And the ideology just shows you that it is an ideology. And I know there's probably trans and non-binary people out there going, this is ridiculous. Because if you are a man wanting to become a woman, surely you do then want a vagina. You don't want a bonus hole. You want a vagina. Of course. Otherwise, what is it? Otherwise, what is a woman? What are you changing to then if it's this nondescript thing? But it is women that are giving up their spaces and their body and their the terminology of all the names that they're being, you know, given for their biology. So this is what's happening to the female at the moment. But now the North Node moves into Aries, you know, this is the time when it can swap over to what the man means, what it means to be a man. And OK, we might have some more fluidity here, but the male and the female have to hold their spaces. The fluidity happens in the middle. You don't dissolve each of those two points. So potentially there's an idea here that the masculine has to redefine itself. And of in the last couple of decades, you know, from the 90s when we had the laddism, you know, that it was like the men weren't allowed to be masculine. And it was like, so it was better being a beta male. There was alpha male was really discouraged. But really, the idea that we have, you know, we can't go on thinking that masculine is always going to be toxic masculine. We need men as you know, as leaders, as having healthy boundaries and healthy guidance and providing support and being protectors and, you know, having ownership and taking responsibility. These are kind of masculine ideals that women can have too, of course. But really, the masculine here needs to step up and reclaim its whole archetypal energy. It really does. And this is what's going to happen in the North Node. Whatever happens in between is good too, obviously. And I see then that with this idea, this swing between the two, that here the South Node in Libra is going to have a real effect and come into its own. This South Node in Libra, as the North Node's in Aries, that this idea of the two sexes that needs to make a standpoint, that they come from, in the South Node past life way, they come from very serious and actual standpoints. And maybe they were too harsh. Maybe, you know, that life was unfair to women. Life was unfair to men who had to do all the, you know, whatever side of the work way that, you know, it fell. Sometimes it was unfair to women, sometimes it fell to men. And we want it to be fair to everyone. But actually, these are archetypal energies that I think with Libra South Node, they will come up to be looked at and to be felt. And maybe they'll get redefined, but actually you just cannot redefine the archetypes, but you can have if you want the fluidity in between. And now that we have Saturn in Pisces, this is really going to help with putting the idea of the divine feminine in a really good spot and see where the Saturn will want to help women, where we've lost spaces, where we've lost energy, where we've had no boundaries and people have taken over our areas, our lives and all those kind of areas. And I feel like this is Saturn going, no, we have to reclaim this and put this right. And Venus as well in retrograde in Leo need to say, right, this is who we are as women and we're not going to have anyone take away our spaces. This is who we are and we're not subcategories of who we are. We are who we are. Full stop. So I really feel like this, the masculine feminine ideals will are up for some re-gripping their original tenets and actually progressing themselves into the future and allowing people to hold on to those as archetypes. And also the idea that our incarnation here as mankind will come to the forefront too. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. It's very much open for debate. And this can be, I don't mean to make this a controversial topic, but I guess it can, because people are taking offence, and I mean no offence to anyone. So, because this is astrology, and these are ancient archetypes with Venus, with Mars, and I think they have their beautiful expression that we need to respect, and let's see what happens. So this is for the 17th of July, when the North Node moves into Aries, and then the 22nd, 23rd, when Venus retrogrades. But that is also the day, the 22nd is when the Sun moves, 22nd, 23rd. Also, the Sun is moving into Leo, first day of Leo as well. Kapow! But also that before it does, the Sun is going to be in opposition, 29 degree Cancer, in opposition to Pluto, with a T-square to the North Node at 29 degrees Aries. So I feel like the Sun in Cancer, 29 degrees, is going, yeah, I'm standing up for mothers everywhere. So thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.